Give you all a very warm welcome on this day, for this baptismal service, and we do pray that the Lord will be with us and bless us each with a real sense of his presence, so that we may go on our way rejoicing at the goodness of the Lord to us all. There's just one or two notices I would like to give before we actually commence our service. All are welcome to stay for refreshments after the service. And in order to have some order, if you would all enter through that door here on my right, and then collect your food, and then go through my room and come out of that door, that will make, and then sit down in the chapel to eat your food. Then after the baptism, and we've sung the doxology, perhaps you'll all remain seated while we cover the pool, because it could be quite dangerous, so we're going to cover the pool as the first thing. And then towards the end of the last hymn, any young children are very welcome to come towards the front if they would like to. So we pray the Lord be with us and bless us. Let's now pray for his presence with us today. Almighty and most gracious God, we are thankful for such an occasion as this. And we do pray that it may be a day when thy name, the name of our God, is honoured and glorified and lifted up. Our hearts may be filled with praise and thanksgiving, for indeed thou art worthy. And we pray it may be from our hearts that heavenly song, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." And so, Lord, look upon us now. Bless us each, especially bless Nathaniel as he goes through the waters of baptism. May he know that favour of the answer of a good conscience. Be with and bless us all. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
May the Lord indeed graciously bless us with his spirit as we come together. We're singing our first hymn, Nathaniel chose the first two hymns. Sing the first hymn, 144, the tune in the companion tune Angelus 282. Read the first two verses of hymn 144. Jesus, my all to heaven is gone. He whom I fix my hopes upon. His track I see and I pursue. A narrow way to him I view. The way the holy prophets went. The road that leads from banishment. The king's highway of holiness. I'll go. For all his paths are peace. Join to sing hymn 144.
Thank you.
his word to the profit of our souls, let us turn to the Acts of the Apostles and let us read chapter 8. The Acts of the Apostles and reading chapter 8. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, and were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity." Then answered Simon and said, "Pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me." And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem, and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, "Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." And he arose and went, And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all his treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, but the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. And God bless his word to the profit of our souls. And now let us call upon his name in prayer. Let us all pray. Almighty, most gracious, most holy, and most merciful Lord God, we desire to come and call upon thy name in prayer, that one who is the eternal God, the one who always was and is and always will be. Do grant that as we come, Lord, in prayer at this time, we may have some appreciation of the greatness of our God, and by comparison, how small and insignificant we are. And yet, Lord, may we truly rejoice and be thankful to know that although we have a God who is so great and so powerful and so mighty, yet that same God condescends to look upon unworthy sinners of the earth and to communicate with them and to hear their prayers and to answer their prayers. And so, Lord, we come this morning remembering the truth of thy word, which encourages us to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may find help in time of need. And so, Lord, we're thankful that there are encouragements for us to come to our God, and we would do so as we've gathered here together this morning for this baptismal service. And we pray we may each know in a most blessed way that the presence of Almighty God is here amongst us. And we pray, Lord, therefore, that thy favour may be upon us, and that our hearts may be moved, that we may not be left unconcerned and unmoved, but that we may have the evidence in our own hearts of the blessed work of the Holy Spirit. Gracious God, we look to thee and we pray to thee for this favour. Lord, it is a great blessing. It is a great request. But Lord, we believe we're coming to a great God who is able to do far more exceeding abundantly than we can ask or even think. And so we pray that we may pray in faith, nothing wavering. Deliver us, Lord, from an evil heart of unbelief, and grant we may therefore seek for that which we know will bring honour and glory to our God. And may we all be conscious, Lord, that as we gather here this morning, may our desire be, may our concern be, that above all things, the Lord Jesus might be lifted up and honoured and glorified. And Lord, we think of those wonderful words in the Song of Solomon, draw me and we will run after thee. And we pray therefore we may know in our own hearts today the drawing power of the Saviour. And Lord, we know that is outside the things of this world. It is outside of nature. It is of the Spirit. And we pray, gracious God, that we may therefore be blessed with the wonderful realization that thou hast not left us, thou hast not forsaken us, but thou art dealing with us in love to our souls. And we pray, gracious God, therefore, that we may know the favour and blessing of spiritual life, so that we may know what the apostle said when he said, and you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And Lord, we realise that by nature we are all dead, but we pray we may also know the wonderful favour of being made spiritually alive, so that such a word may not only be a word in Scripture, but Lord, may it be a word which is true in the experience of each of our souls. And so, Lord, as we come here this morning to witness Nathanael in his profession to be baptized, we pray, Lord, that if we've come just for the occasion, we pray that thy Holy Spirit may descend upon us and cause us to consider our way, to consider where we are going, and help us then to see that we may be found in the right way, the narrow way, and Lord, not the broad way. We pray then for the blessed work of thy Holy Spirit. And Lord, without thee, we can do nothing. And so, Lord, come, we pray, and get honour and glory to thy great and holy name. We desire to be very thankful that we have the Bible to read, the Word of God, in our own language. And Lord, perhaps we have not thought very much about it. We just accepted that we have the Bible to read. But Lord, may we realise what a wonderful blessing it is to have the very Word of God in our language, that we can read, that gives us all the direction that we need for our natural life, and above all things for our spiritual life. And so we pray that all of us may be blessed with a spiritual hunger for spiritual food, and that we may find that spiritual food in the Word of God, that thy Word, which we know is truth, may speak to our souls. And therefore, Lord, we pray the Bible may not be a just and historical account, a book which we may read just by tradition, a book that we may pick up and think that we need to read a certain amount each day. But Lord, we pray above all things that thy Holy Spirit may apply the Word of God with power to our souls. We give thanks, Lord, for the account we read this morning in the 8th chapter of Acts. We're thankful, Lord, for the evidence of the great and glorious work of the Spirit in the soul of that Ethiopian. And Lord, we recognise thy goodness in granting us such an account to encourage us. And yet, Lord, as we've also read solemnly in that account of the man Simon who used sorceries, and realised that he did not believe in his heart. Oh, we pray, Lord, for all of us today, that we may not just have a head religion, but Lord, that we may know the work of God in our hearts, that which changes us, that which produces eternal life, that which is indeed the gift of God. Oh, gracious Lord, hear us then when we earnestly pray for these blessings. And so, Lord, we pray that the word of God that we've read together this morning may perhaps have laid hold of us. Perhaps we've noticed words that we've never noticed before. And we pray, Lord, therefore, that thy Holy Spirit may do that which we cannot do. Lord, we pray for everyone here, young and old. We're thankful, Lord, for bringing a large company together. We're thankful, Lord, for giving good journeys so that we're all here at this time. Lord, may it be like it was in the days of Cornelius. We're all here met together to hear what God the Lord will speak to us. And Lord, if we haven't prayed for that, may we each pray for it now, that we may hear what God the Lord will speak to us. We pray then for each one, and particularly we pray for Nathaniel to be with and bless him on this occasion. And Lord, we believe that as thy people are privileged to be baptized, that they have that blessed good answer, good conscience before God of doing that which is right. And Lord, we pray there may be those who may be moved even today. Those perhaps, Lord, whom thou hast commenced a good work, and yet, Lord, they are reluctant to take up their cross. Take up their cross daily and to follow thee. We pray, Lord, that all obstacles may be removed and that they may be only concerned to do the will of God. Oh, we pray, Lord, all of us may only be concerned to do the will of God. Lord, take away all that which is of the flesh. Take away the fear of man. Take away an evil heart of unbelief. Grant to us, O Lord, that true and humble spirit to be a true follower of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, a true follower of a crucified man, a true follower of that great and glorious Saviour who's laid down his life so that we might receive life. Oh Lord, come we pray, and bless us indeed, young and old. May thy name be honoured and glorified. We come, Lord, and would not forget our nation in this day in which we live. Lord, how sad a day it is. And Lord, how we have neglected the truth of God. And Lord, how we've turned our back upon thee. And Lord, all we can come and say, oh Lord, in wrath remember mercy. Grant there may yet be a turning unto thee. Lord, we know thy word says, turn us and we shall be turned. Lord, do turn us, we pray, as a nation, away from the many evil laws which have been passed so contrary to thy word. Oh no, Lord, help us individually in the world today to stand firm for the truth, whatever the cost. And we know, Lord, that the truth brings a cost with it. But Lord, help us therefore to remember the cost our Saviour paid. Lord, be with us then. Bless our nation. Bless our Queen. We think of her in her old age. We're thankful, Lord, for the evidence that thou hast granted. She's been able to declare in her Christmas messages over a number of years. And we pray, Lord, that she may indeed know thee, whom to know is life eternal, and be able to speak forth the truth of God in her prominent position. So, Lord, hear us then when we pray for these things. And now look upon us. Remember us each for good with that favour thou bearest unto thy people. And above all things, visit our souls with thy salvation. We ask it all for Jesus' sake. Amen.
We continue in worship of God this morning. We sing our second hymn, 885. So Julie Merrison, 366. Hymn 385. The second hymn was a special blessing to the family. Reading the first two verses, "Hear, gracious God, a sinner's cry. I have nowhere else to cry. My hope, my only hope is in thee. O God, be merciful to me. To thee I come, a sinner born. Wait for mercy at thy door. Indeed, I have nowhere else to flee. O God, be merciful to me." So together, hymn 385.
praise the Lord to bless us together this morning as we meditate in his word for a little while. Let's turn to the Acts of the Apostles and chapter 8, and we'll read verses 35, 36 and 37. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, reading verses 35, 36 and 37. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We should be very thankful that the Word of God gives us some very good and some very clear illustrations. And in this account of the Ethiopian eunuch, we have a very clear picture of what occurred. And we're told, of course, that the Spirit of God came upon Philip and told him to go down to the desert. Not a kind of place that you would expect to be directed to. But nonetheless, that was where the Lord told him to go. Go down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now we should note that the first thing, Philip did not delay. He did not say, well, I'm not sure whether that's a good idea. I don't think I really want to go down to that place. And we should realize, therefore, that God directs us by his Spirit. We may not always know the reason, and it may often may not appear attractive. But nonetheless, if it is the will of God, we can be sure it will have a good result. And this had a very wonderful result. And so we see Philip here being obedient to the word of God. And it's an instruction for all of us in our lives to be obedient to the word of God. Whatever that may say to us, and we may not really want to follow such a word. But nonetheless, may the Lord give us that right spirit to do his will. And so, the Lord had a divine purpose to direct Philip in this way. And here was this Ethiopian eunuch, travelling back from Jerusalem. Now, it is significant to note that he wasn't wasting his time. He was on a journey back. And what was he doing? Well, he was reading the Old Testament. He was reading the book of the prophet Isaiah. And what was he reading? He was reading the 53rd chapter. So we should remember, and especially you young people, not to waste time. I suppose we have that word, and it's a familiar word, leisure time. It's not a healthy word. It's not a good word. Because what it means is we're probably not spending our time well. If you've got time to spare, then use it well. Use it properly. Use it to edify your soul. Use it to honour and glorify your God. And don't use it and waste it. You know, there's a word which tells us that we should be found redeeming the time, not wasting the time. Because our life is very short. And eternity is before all of us. And we should therefore live our life as though we are spending the last day of our life on earth. And not assume it's going to go on for years. And so here we have this position that here was this eunuch reading the word of God. And the Lord is wonderful. How this plan, his plan all worked together perfectly. And not only on this occasion, all God's plans work perfectly. Be very clear of that in your life. And you young children, you may not think so, but it is so. God's ways are right and they work out perfectly. It may not always seem so at the moment, but rest assured, God's way is right. And so here we have this eunuch in his chariot, riding along. Philip's commanded to go and join himself to the chariot. And he was reading from that prophecy in Isaiah. And as Philip came to him, and Philip asked him what he was reading, did he understand what he was reading? Now, there's instruction there for us to ask the question. Perhaps those of us who are older to ask younger people whether they understand what they are reading. It is the Word of God, and it is a great blessing to have the Word of God, but we do want to understand what we're reading. We don't want to just read it and it goes over our head and we forget what we're reading. You see, God's servant Philip said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" He didn't wait for someone to ask him. He asked the question. "Understandest thou what thou readest?" Don't forget that. Remember to ask people whether they understand what they're reading. Because probably, like this Ethiopian, many people do not understand what they're reading. You see, we can make assumptions. We can think people understand. They may not understand. And sometimes people are too nervous to ask what it means. Perhaps they're too embarrassed to ask what it means. And so therefore, do not be backward in asking. And you've got to ask it in the right way. You've got to ask it in love. You don't want to ask it in a critical way to be able to criticize them. You want to ask it in a way because you're concerned about whether they do understand what they're reading. And if you want any reason for that, weigh your question up in the balances of eternity. That'll put things in a right perspective. Well, and what did the eunuch answer? You know, again, it was an honest answer. And we need to be honest in the things of God. We don't want to pretend we know things or pretend we know things when we don't. We need to be honest. And here was this man, he was honest. Do be honest in the things of God. You know, God looks at your heart. He knows the truth. You can pretend to be what you're not. You can fool your parents. You can fool your friends. You can't fool God. Remember then, to be honest. If you're asked a question, and don't say, "Well, I do understand," say, "Well, I don't understand. Please explain it to me." And so, this man said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And then, you can imagine, can't you, this picture in the desert, this chariot with this eunuch in it, and no doubt a number of people with him. And there's Philip getting up, and there they are reading the Word of God in a desert place. He read, of course, a very important part, a very wonderful prophecy in that 53rd chapter in Isaiah. And it's a chapter which often, perhaps, we turn away from naturally until the Spirit of God shows us what a glorious chapter it is. I wonder what you think of the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. I wonder if I asked you, well, how does it start? I wonder if anybody, or you young children, could say how it started, the 53rd chapter in Isaiah. Well, it's a wonderful chapter. And what does it do? It tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's therefore very significant and very important. And it was very significant that here was this Ethiopian eunuch reading this very particular part of the Word of God. And they read together this part in those latter verses, really, the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. So what happened then? The eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, Of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? And now what was the result? What was the result? Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now, my friends, whatever sermon you hear, whatever text is preached from, you always want to look to hear about Jesus. Because there is the hope of salvation. There is in his name that which is above every name. And so seek and desire to hear about Jesus. And so we're told Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Well, what was the scripture that was being read to him? He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. What was that? That was a prophecy of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here was Philip able to commence his account to this man by speaking of the end of the life of Jesus. But it didn't finish there. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ finished his work when he was crucified upon that cross at Calvary. And it is a most amazing scene to think that there the Lord God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, was so willing to do the will of his Father and to give his life as a sacrifice in order that that sacrifice might be satisfactory to the demands of a holy God to take away the sins of all the church of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he did not back away from that which his Father had given him, that tremendous commission. But we know that what occurred was, when that was complete, the Lord Jesus says, "It is finished." The work was complete. The work of salvation was finished. That which had been foretold right from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3:15, you can look it up, and you'll see there that there was prophesied there would come a Redeemer. And so, in due time, the Lord came. Now, Philip here was speaking initially about his death. But it is very clear from this account that he didn't stop there. He would have gone back through, no doubt, the Word of God, perhaps the Genesis, and pointed out what was going to occur, prophesied so many, many years ago, spoken about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, again how it was prophesied so many years ago, remembering, of course, that in these days, they only really had the Old Testament. It didn't have the New Testament like we did. And they were dependent, therefore, on the illustrations and those wonderful prophecies throughout the Old Testament, which so very clearly spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Philip would have gone right back to the beginning of the life of Jesus. And you may say, well, why do you think that? Why do you say that? Because, as we read here, the eunuch then came and asked Philip, "Here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" Clearly, he'd spoken about the time when the Lord Jesus was baptized. Clearly, he'd spoken about his life. And it was no doubt quite a long sermon that he preached on this wonderful occasion when the blessing came into the heart of this eunuch. You know, what had occurred? He'd been seeking. My friends, are we seekers? Have we been seeking? And what happened when Philip preached to him, his heart was opened to receive the truth of God's word. And his heart was opened to such an extent that he desired to do the will of God. He desired to follow the blessed example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philip had spoken obviously about that. It wasn't something which he pushed aside. It wasn't as though it was something irrelevant. It was something important, and it is something important. And we are, thank God, today we're able to have this baptismal service to fulfill that which is set before us in the Word of God. God's people are to follow the pattern set before us in the Word of God. I'm sure of this. Nobody, no born-again Christian, ever regrets being baptized. I also believe this. There are many people who have not been baptized who regret not being baptized. Now, where are you today? What's your position today? Can you look back and thank God for the grace given you to be baptized? Because what has occurred, you've taken up your cross. You desire to follow a despised and crucified man. Do you regret it? I'm sure you don't. I'm sure you don't. Life's not easy for a Christian. It never has been. It never will be. But I'll tell you this much. You'll have the answer of a good conscience. You'll have peace in your heart. On the other hand, there may be those who have turned their back upon the Word of God and think it's not relevant. If you follow through the New Testament, you will find that the people of God, in their testimony, they believed and they were baptized. That is the pattern of the truth. That is the pattern of the Word of God. And it's not my words, it's the Word of God. You think of that great day, the day of Pentecost, when there were those 3,000 who were converted. And what did they do? Did they just say, well, that's glad, I'm glad about that? No. They all took up their cross and were baptized. The Church of God, my friends, today, we're in a lukewarm condition. Many people are. Many people disobey the Word of God. It's a very solemn position. It's a very solemn position. You and I stand before God. Do you want the Lord to deny us when we come to that great day of judgment? If we stand there, as we all will, and will we kind of start making excuses why we haven't been baptized? You know, excuses don't count with God. Excuses don't count with God. Obedience counts with God. And how terrible. There can be nothing worse, can there, than that great day of judgment, to hear those solemn words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Well, the result will either be that, or it will be, "Come in now, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth." Every one of us here this morning will hear one or the other words. We won't want to come and therefore have regrets. The Word of God tells us, "Those that honour me, I will honour." Well, have you honoured the Lord? Have you honoured the Lord? Do you expect God to honour you? Do you expect God to honour you when you've disobeyed the Lord? If you have something to tell, if you have something to acknowledge what God has done for you, then surely it's a blessed privilege to be able to declare what Almighty God, the ruler of the universe, has condescended to look upon such an unworthy sinner of the earth, and has not cast them off and dealt with them as they deserve, but he's looked upon him, them. Well, you this morning, you must realise, has God looked upon you? And let's go back perhaps, and how important it is that you do know that God has looked upon you, and that God has had mercy upon you, and that God has shone his light into your heart. Well, what did Philip preach? He opened his mouth and at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So let me ask you this question. What does Jesus mean to you this morning? All you young people, what does Jesus mean to you this morning? Is it nothing to you, all you that pass by? Most of you have heard many sermons. Most of you have sat through many services. What does Jesus mean to you? What does he mean? If I asked you this morning, well, here's a piece of paper, write down what Jesus means to you. What would you write? Perhaps you wouldn't write anything. Perhaps you weren't able to write anything. But what a good thing if you could write something to this effect. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And that means the hope of eternal life. We live in time. Time will soon cease for every one of us. We shall soon be in eternity. And how solemn if we have never been blessed with spiritual life and spiritual desires after the Lord Jesus Christ. You only have to read through the New Testament, especially the testimony of the Apostle Paul, how concerned he was to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He did know him. He'd been converted amazingly on that Damascus road. And blessed with the knowledge of Christ, he wanted to know more and more of the Saviour. Christ was his life. Is Christ your life and my life? Or do we live in the world? We want to enjoy the world. And if we can fit Christ in somehow, if we can manage to go to chapel or church on a Sunday and perhaps tick the box and think, well, I've just done my duty, that won't get you to heaven. That won't get you to heaven. We need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as that one who has stood in our place and has paid the price to redeem our souls, to take away our sin. We cannot pay the price ourselves. And you may say, well, tell me why that is. I'll tell you why that is. Because you and I are born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and in actual fact, we are spiritually dead. We have no ability to save our souls. We are dead. We've sung that middle hymn with that repetitive line, God be merciful to me. Now, bless God if he's put in your heart that very simple prayer. God be merciful to me, a sinner. And if you really feel yourselves to be a lost sinner, to pray that prayer and to seek that the Lord would show you that he has died for you. That's what the Philip here displayed and spoke of to the eunuch. He clearly told the eunuch the great plan of salvation. And the plan of salvation to this man was music in his ears. It was good news from a far country. Well, is Jesus to you good news It's a line of a hymn. It's very appropriate. when we think of it about the Lord Jesus Christ, when we hear his voice in our heart, speaking to us, directing us, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. That's a test for the reality of your religion and my religion. The name of Jesus, when you hear it, your ears prick up. Is it good news? Because you realise, there's my hope of salvation. The name of Jesus. Is it sweet in your ears, or doesn't it affect you? You just carry on. Bless God. The Holy Spirit comes and gives you that desire because of what the Lord Jesus Christ means to you. And what he means to the Church of God is their hope of salvation. Because there they were, dead. Bless God for the Holy Spirit's work which has made them alive. This morning, are you made alive? Are you seeking Christ? Are you seeking union with Christ? Are you seeking to know the Lord Jesus has died to take away your sins? Are you seeking to know that it is well with your soul for eternity? That's the great important thing. The devil is a very cunning foe. Remember, the devil is a deceiver. He always has been. He always will be. His great plan is to deceive. He deceived Adam and Eve. It wasn't a very difficult task. My friends, left to ourselves, he deceives us. The devil will say, don't worry, I'll put these things off. They're not very important. They are important. Don't listen to the devil. Never listen to the devil. Only listen to the truth of God's word. Only listen to what God says. And so, may you truly be concerned, all of us, to know that we are those for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died. He gave his life. Now, if you and I have the evidence of that in our hearts, may such a truth be a moving influence upon us as we may consider the tremendous cost that the Saviour paid in order that you and I might receive the blessing of eternal life. The enormous price that was paid. His death. And not an easy death. Crucifixion. The most painful death. That was the price the Saviour paid to take away the debt that you and I owed. We can never repay that debt ourselves. But my friends, if the Holy Spirit has indicated and shown to us that he has paid that price, we do owe a debt which you and I would never be able to repay. So great, eternal blessings. Surely then, it is our privilege, as it is Nathaniel's privilege today, to take up his cross and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And to follow him in this way, in the ordinance of believer's baptism. Now don't let us turn away from it. Don't let us think, well, that's all right for him. It's important for us all. We don't want the Lord to deny us, do we? We don't want the Lord to say, I never knew you. We want to be amongst those whom the Lord comes and touches the heart. Now, the ordinance of believer's baptism is important. It's important. And it's important that perhaps you younger ones know the reason why it is important. Well, the Apostle Paul gives us some explanation for it. And in the 6th chapter to the Romans, he speaks these truths. I'll just commence at the first verse. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And in reality, you know, if you and I are blessed with God's grace, we are continuing in sin if we're not following him through the waters of believers' baptism. And what does the apostle say? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Very simply, it means this: union with Christ. As we are baptized, we go down into the water, and we are covered with that water. That means buried with Christ. And then as we come up out of the water, we rise again with Christ. So such a ordinance is not just a figment of imagination. It is the word of God, the way of God, and it sets before us a very wonderful and a very glorious picture. Union with Christ. Well, we're not told that we're going to obtain any specific or special blessing as we go through the ordinance of believers' baptism, but I believe those who have followed that way can concur that there is the answer of a good conscience. And we do have, and we are blessed with, peace of God. Well, how many today are failing to hear God's word? How many today are turning away from such a Saviour? Oh, friends, remember him. Remember him. What are the dying thief say? Lord, remember me. You'll want the Lord to remember you, won't you, when you come down to die? You won't want him to turn away from you. Are you taking up your cross? Are you following the Lord Jesus Christ? This is what this man did, this eunuch. The Lord spoke to him in this way, and when they came to a certain water, it would seem, would it not, the first opportunity, didn't kind of pass by that water and then pass by that water and then pass by that water. It came to a certain water. And what did the eunuch say? He asked the question, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Well, it's a good question to ask, and it's good to have the right answer. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And what did Philip say? If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. If I asked you that question this morning, how would you respond? How would you respond? Do you believe with all your heart? Do you or don't you? Do you believe with all your heart? See, it's vital we believe with our heart, our innermost being. And what did the eunuch answer? Humbly, truthfully, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is the answer that all of us
must give.
Faith to believe. God gives faith to believe. He gives the gift of eternal life. But to come like this and say, from our heart, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And therefore, what was now to stop the eunuch being baptized? Nothing. Nothing. My friends, if by God's grace you are able to say such words as this in answer to the question that was put here, if thou believest in all thy heart, thou mayest. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And let's just go back a moment, because the question was, what doth hinder me? What's hindering you today? What's hindering you today? Don't give any room to the devil. He'll try and make all manner of excuses. The word of God is very clear. The word of God is very simple. And here we have the answer. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Well, my friends, may all of us be concerned that we are obeying the word of God. We are not following our own inclinations. We are following the word of God. Well, may God be with and instruct us and give us grace to do his will and not ignore the blessed directions of the word of God. Remember, you and I must stand before that judgment seat. We don't want to be there and have to confess that we have not obeyed the word of God. Our brother Nathaniel has gave us his testimony to our church here, and he's written it out, and I thought I would just read it to you. Now, let's be clear on one or two things. First of all, everybody is dealt with in an individual way. The pattern is in the word of God. That's the pattern. You should not think, therefore, well, so-and-so said this and I haven't received that. No, my friends, the pattern is the word of God. But nonetheless, I think it's good to give a testimony, remembering those that honour me, I will honour. And this is the testimony of Nathaniel. He tells us, he said, I was brought up in a very privileged position in a Christian household and had Christian influences all around me. And no doubt most of you are in the same position. I've always known that I had done things wrong and was therefore a sinner. However, this didn't bother me too much and I didn't think about it too much. Again, that might be the position of many of you this morning. I tried to read my Bible and pray every day. However, this was more out of habit than the seeking for my spiritual depth in what I was reading. In the Sunday school at Hope Chapel, I would sometimes be challenged about my spiritual standing. However, these things would soon leave me when it came to Monday. Is that true? At school and college, I would often pray that the Lord would help me in exams and guide me in what I must do when I got the results. While studying for my A-level, I had a sermon preached from Psalm 145, verse 16. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. Remember, thinking that I had need to help in study for my A-levels, but he spoke on a much greater need, and that is our need of a Saviour. But this didn't seem as urgent as it should have been. In a providential way, I saw the Lord going before me, particularly when I was offered a place at Surrey University. The grades there required were higher than I was predicted. However, I felt that if the Lord wanted me to go to university, he would help me get the grades I needed to get. The day before I received the A-level results, it dawned on me that I may well have received results much lower than the university wanted, but I prayed that I should be guided in the way I should go. The next morning I received my results, which were different to what I was expecting. The subjects I was least expected to get good grade in, I got the highest grade. And the other subjects, I got less than expected. However, Surrey still confirmed my place. This was a real answer to prayer, and I was quite humbled by the way the Lord was leading me. And it's good, such an occasion like that, because what it does is gives honour and glory to God. He couldn't claim, well, I've done as I expected to do. No, God changed it. He changed the sequence for his honour and glory. These thoughts soon left me, and I settled into university life. About a year ago, I remember at university striving to become a better person in myself. I knew I must come to Christ to be washed completely, but I wanted to clear some of my wrongdoings myself. This went on for some time until I heard a sermon preached on, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." I realised I had been labouring to get myself better. But the minister explained that this text showed I needed to come just as I am, and in all my sin, and come to Christ, and he would give me true gospel rest. Well, that may be an encouraging word for some here today. We can come to the Lord Jesus. The hymn writer says, "I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad." What a blessing we can come, because God knows where we are anyway. He goes on, "That night I really prayed to the Lord that he would forgive my sins, give me that gospel rest. I believe the Lord heard my cry and gave me a few moments of true gospel rest. However, many doubts came into my mind whether it was all genuine, and I prayed that I would be given some assurance that it was true. Shortly after, I opened my phone and looked at the Bible text which is put up daily, and it was on that day a text from Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. I was quite overwhelmed by the love of Christ to a sinner as bad as me. Over the next few months, I began to doubt again what had really happened that day. In the summer, I was praying that the Lord would show me that I was truly a real Christian. In my Bible reading, I came to John 9, where it speaks of the blind man that Jesus heals. The man didn't know clearly what had happened, but he was able to say, one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. I realised that was true of me. Well, is that true of you today? Can you say, humbly, just like that man, one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. Over this time, I'd often enjoyed the ministry, the different services I attended, both at Red Hill and other chapels, and some online. I particularly remember one sermon I heard online in Hebrews. Hebrews 12, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." The minister said how we are to run the race, but not looking at ourselves for strength, but looking outside of self to a precious Christ. I've often been encouraged by the good conversations I've had with family and friends. And it's good, my friends, to have good conversations. Those of us who are perhaps older, or at least those of us who are true Christians, we should encourage others. We should speak often of the things of God. We should not think about all the rubbishy things of time. There may be those who are listening who want to hear, who want to be encouraged. Over the summer, I was sadly tempted and then fell into sin. Shortly after, I had a deep conviction of my sins that I had committed, and I cried to God to have mercy. And he again graciously heard my cry. Looking back, this is a comfort to me. As whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. One of my favourite hymns is, and we've sung it, he just quotes two verses here, "Hear, gracious God, a sinner's cry, for I have nowhere else to fly. My hope, my only hope's in thee, O God, be merciful to me. To thee I come, a sinner great, and well thou knowest all my state. Yet full forgiveness is with thee, O God, be merciful to me." As time went on, I believe the Lord has shown me that I was a true Christian and I should be baptized. I remember a sermon I heard preached from Genesis 24, 56. Abraham's servant finding a wife for Isaac. Her brother asked Rebekah, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." The minister spoke how Jesus asks, "Will you now follow, or will you still delay?" I was determined to go and speak of what the Lord had done. However, I still put it off in the weeks past, and I still hadn't spoken. Well, are you putting things off today? I kept reading my Bible and seeking for more assurances that I was one of the Lord's people. I heard another sermon preached on John 9. At the end of the sermon, the minister said that although you may want more assurance to know you are truly saved, but looking back, haven't you got a lot to thank God for already in your life? That He has changed your attitude, heard your cries? I realised that was true of me, and I should thank and praise the Lord for what He had done already. Well, can some of you trace that in your mind, in your heart? Be thankful for such evidence. I was thinking about these things. This word came to me from Isaiah 43 verse 1. "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." This came sweetly to me, and looking outside of myself and looking to Christ, I realised I couldn't put off being baptised any longer, and soon spoke to my dad and then to my pastor about how I believed the Lord was leading me, that I felt I must be baptised. The Sunday before the church meeting, I was quite concerned about the week's events, as I had the church meeting where I was to give my testimony, and it was exam week at university. But I read from Peter, the first of Peter and the fifth chapter, the words, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." We can say with the hymn writer, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." Well, that's the testimony of Nathaniel. And may we all of us, be able to say something. And it may be just like the eunuch, "I believe." Maybe like that person, "I believe, help thou mine unbelief." But my friends, it is essential that we have the light of God shining into our hearts so that we are amongst those whom the Lord has spiritually made alive. And we can say, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." Amen.
We continue in worship and singing hymn 427. The tune is 437. Hymn 427, "Jesus and shall ever be, a mortal man ashamed of thee, ashamed of thee whom angels praise, whose glories shine to endless days. Ashamed of Jesus to the calm, the evening rush to own a star, who sheds his beams of light divine for this benighted soul of mine." So we give him 427.
Nathaniel. We're thankful the Lord has given you grace and that desire to indeed follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We sang in his hymn just now, and oh, may this my glory be, that Christ is not ashamed of me. And so it is a privilege for you to follow the Lord, a privilege for those who have also gone this way. And indeed, may you know and realize the Lord's peace of God in your soul. We read together in that account of the eunuch that Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. Perhaps do likewise. My dear brother Nathaniel, on a profession of your faith and before many witnesses, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Take up our cross and to follow a despised and crucified Saviour. And so, Lord, be with us as we part, take us all to our homes in peace and in safety, and do abide with us and bless us on thy day tomorrow. We ask it with the forgiveness of every sin. We would now, Lord, come and give thanks for the food provided for us. May it be blessed to our bodies. We ask it for Jesus' sake, and may his grace and the Father's love, and the union and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.